Thank you. I'm Jody, and I'm an addict. And I'd like to thank the Central Maryland area for allowing me to come up here and share my experience and strength and hope on H&I. My clean date is April 21st of 06. My home group is Steps of Life, Livingston Road and Bach Road and Oxon Hill. I've been on H&I for 4 years. Since being on H&I, I am currently a subcommittee member of our H&I for our area, and we take meetings into facilities inside of our area. H&I stands for hospitals and institutions. What we do is we take meetings into facilities to people that can't get out and go to regular meetings. Since being on H&I as a subcommittee member, they elected me as the chair of my area. Right now, I'm the regional CMP, H&I regional chairperson for our region. I'm a little nervous. It was the first time I was asked to do a workshop at the convention, so kind of bear with me, but I think it's going to work out. I kind of prayed and asked God to guide me and use me as a vessel, sharing my experience. I was first introduced to H&I in an institution. So the seed was planted in the institution. And at first, the reason I got out or wanted to go to an H&I meeting, a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, because I wanted to get out of my cell. I didn't know that when I got there, they was going to plant a seed that at some point, right, the seed was going to start to flourish and I was going to surrender to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I used after that, and I used many years after that. H&I is one service position that I hold, that any service position that I hold, let me say that, gave me something that I had never had when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. It gave me commitment. It gave me responsibility, right? And through doing service in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I've been able to do service outside of the program of Narcotics Anonymous, be of service to myself, be of service to my family, right? So I'm grateful for the opportunity to be in service. Service work for me is when I think of service work, one of the things that I kind of look at is, and one of the things that keeps me in service is the benefit that I get from being in service. You know, it takes 1 hour out of a day to do an H&I meeting. I have several service positions. They say goodwill is best exemplified in service, right? So one of the things that happened for me is when I'm in service, I get the blessing, right? And I've been truly blessed since being in service, helping somebody else outside of myself, because prior to getting here, it was all about me, you know. So I kind of I welcome service, and if you knew, service is one of the best ways to get committed to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. People get to know you, you know. It's funny, right? That I'm able to do a workshop on service work. And the guy that I'm speaking with is John White, right? And John W., excuse me. and the reason I say that is because probably like 9 years ago, I ended up at a meeting, and I had to get a slip signed. And they told me to get a sponsor, go to meetings, and I wound up with a guy named John W. as my sponsor. And I stayed clean for 8 months. And he put me in service, and as soon as I got there, he gave me a coffee pot. I used to bring it to the meeting. I used to take it home with me in my car. I used to bring it back to the meeting, right? And from there, I've been in service ever since. Every time I come to Narcotics Anonymous, I get involved in the program. I understand that, and I see from my past that, you know, because I was introduced to this program a long, long time ago. I ended up here, I was 42 years old. I was introduced to this program, I was probably like 17, right? And one of the things I realized was that one of the reasons that I couldn't stay clean is because I didn't get in the middle of the program, right? I didn't get in service. I didn't get involved with something that was going to save my life, right? But since being here, right, I understand how the program works and how I get my blessings. My blessings come when I do something for somebody else, right, and stay clean one day at a time. Our area is a small area. We got like four service positions, and we take 20 meetings into like four different facilities. And one of the facilities we go in is Upper Marlboro Jail, and one of the criteria to get in there is to get a background check, you know, and that's a deterioration for most people because most people don't want to get nobody there, all their information, right? So it's kind of hard to get people to come out and be in service. My area hosts a learning day every year. And what we do at our learning day is we talk about H&I, the H&I handbook, and we try to familiarize people with being in service and let them understand the blessings that come from being in service and try to make it a fun thing to do, right? And what we do is we have, like, potlucks and stuff like that, and we try to, like, encourage newcomers to, like, get in service, right? Because we realize as members that's been here for a while, that's got in service, right, understand the benefit of being in service. So H&I for me, man, was, like, part of the cornerstone. I was really, like, tricked into this position, right, at my home group. When they selected me as the, well, I joined H&I, and then they told me to be the assistant chair, right? And the reason I say they tricked me, because they knew the chair was getting ready to move to Alabama in 2 weeks, right? So, you know, and part of what happens when you're the vice chair, if in the absence of the vice chair has to be the chair, right? So they tricked me, and it's all good, right? And, but I welcome it, though, man, with open arms, because I know that, you know, when I get outside myself and allow the God of my understanding to work and you people, right, to give me some guidance, I get the benefit of it, you know. I don't know. The Just for the Day talked about, you know, the big picture, right? The big picture, right? And part of what I got out of that reading this morning was that the big picture for coming in here, you know, being of service to somebody else, we are the beneficials, right? And it talked about, you know, the spiritual awakening, right? It leads us to an end of loneliness and give us some direction, right? Because when I got here, I had none of that. I was lonely. I ain't had no direction. I ain't had no friends. I had using buddies, right, that didn't have my real best interests at heart. You know, here in Narcotics Anonymous, I've met a group of people, man, that have my best interests at heart. And, you know, it's been loving and caring since I've been here. And what I try to do is I try to extend the same thing that was extended to me when I got here. You know, when I get sponsees, I try to get them in service. I had two of them, and they didn't want to be in service. And one of them told me that, you know, he got another sponsor because his identification was him, was more powerful than it was with me, and it was that the guy slept in a box. So I'm like, okay, man, wherever you can get your help from, man, just get it, right? And so I'm grateful, man. Again, I want to thank this area, the Central Maryland area, for asking me to come up and share my experience, Triffin Oak. I think I'm supposed to share like 15 minutes. I probably got about five more. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the floor up, right, for questions, right? Or we can ask questions after John. What we'll do, yeah, we'll let John come up and we'll ask questions after his, and then that we can answer both all the questions. I want to thank y'all you again for listening to me. Thanks for having me.
My name is Anthony. I'm still an addict.
Hey,
Anthony. And before I open it up to my next speaker here, it's been told this gentleman's been Secretary for Life at our H&I subcommittee in Central Maryland, and you know, we make him a commitment he can't refuse is what it is, and he's been there for forever. doing the secretary position. I know he's done a great job. I'd like to open it up to John W.
Hi, family. I'm John. I'm an addict.
Hey, John.
And I have props. And this is an audience participation drill here. So everybody who has one of the registration forms with blue writing on the back, you are now a member of the H&I panel system. In Central Maryland area, we use the panel system. And my goal here is to try to illustrate how little a commitment you can make and still be effective in doing H&I work, and how when you don't fulfill your commitment, how it cascades and falls back on other people, and then we get people unwilling to serve. Anthony says, you know, I've been the secretary for life. You know, my clean date is November 1990. I've been the secretary of H&I since 94. And I'm still a secretary, and I don't take another position because there are responsibilities on these other commitments that I can't meet. So I don't take a position where I can't meet the requirements. So in our area, we use the panel system. And what happens is we have a committee, and there are four pieces of paper out there that say H&I chair, vice chair, secretary, and literature. Could y'all stand up, please? Chair, vice chair, secretary, literature. Okay. Each one of those commitments is about an hour and a half a month. If you are willing to commit an hour and a half a month, you can fulfill that position. Thank you. You can sit down. Now, we have in the panel system, the way it works is each facility is served by a panel. And the panel consists of a panel coordinator. The panel coordinator is responsible for making sure that on a weekly basis, somebody takes the meeting to the facility. The panel leaders are those somebodies. And then we have panel members who are the speakers that the panel leaders go and get. If you're a panel leader and you can't make your meeting, you can't call your sponsor or your sponsee brother or sister and say, I can't do the meeting, can you do it? You got to go to somebody who's got some H&I experience. And the responsibility for getting a substitute for you is not you. And you may feel that I'm being responsible by getting somebody else, but you need to let the panel coordinator take care of that because that's their responsibility. The panel coordinator should contact you a few days before your commitment and remind you that this is your week. Are you going to be able to make it or not? And if not, they're responsible for either covering the meeting for you or getting somebody who's a suitable replacement to go to the meeting. Everybody with a panel leader paper, please stand up. I put out enough panel leaders for three meetings. Jody's area covers four meetings, four facilities. This is three facilities here that you would cover. And if you look around, you see that everybody who's standing up is obligating an hour and a half a month. And that includes your travel time to and from the facility. You know, 15 minutes to get there, an hour for the meeting, 15 minutes to get back home. That doesn't seem like it's a lot to ask. Now, the panel coordinators, please stand up. Nope. Nope. So now you got your panel coordinators. And you're responsible for being in contact with your panel leaders on a weekly basis to make sure that they're going. Whoever has week four, please hand that slip to your meeting coordinator. Meeting C, week four, please hand and then you can sit down week four. And meeting B, week four, give it to the meeting B panel coordinator, and you can sit down. And what you'll quickly see is, as the panel leaders stop serving, the responsibility for covering the meeting backs up on the panel coordinator. Okay? So the week three leaders, pass your papers over to your panel coordinator. Week three, pass your meeting A panel coordinator. Meeting a panel coordinator, he needs week 4 and week 3. And if you had week 3 or week 4, please sit down. We've had six people stop serving. And look how few people there are left to cover these 3 meetings. Now, the people who still have panel leader papers, you're still obligated for 90 minutes a month. The panel coordinator now has 4.5 hours a month because he's got the panel coordinator job plus the week 3 job plus the week 4 job. Okay? He may get tired of doing all of that work and step down. Now we've got a facility that's got almost nobody serving on it, and pretty soon that meeting's going to not have anybody bringing the message of Narcotics Anonymous to the still-suffering addict. You can be effective doing 90 minutes a month of H&I work. Now, everybody else who's got a panel leader position, hand your thing over to your panel coordinator. Well, he quit. So who's going to do it? Give it to the H&I vice chair. How much responsibility is he taking on now? Okay, he's going to step down too because he just can't handle the workload. Rapidly, you can see how failing to honor your commitments backs up this work. Everybody else can sit down. I don't really need you to get that much exercise. But I'm trying to illustrate the fact that when you're in the panel system, you can be effective. You can get every facility covered with a little bit of commitment on an individual basis. And I urge you that if you can take a commitment, take it. But be sure that if you take it, you can fulfill it. And if you can't fulfill it, don't take it. Take something you can. You know, I've been in H&I for a long time. And some people think that maybe I should step up to be the vice chair or the chair or do something else. But there are responsibilities in our area that I cannot do. And so I don't. I take the ones that I can fulfill them, and I do them without fail. Because that's the only way to get my commitment and for me to get the benefits of H&I. Now, I'm the secretary of H&I. I'm also a panel coordinator for a facility, and I'm also a panel leader for a facility. So my commitment to H&I is not simply 90 minutes a month, okay? But I'm not overburdening myself because the real thing is I go to the monthly H&I meeting. That's an hour. Second Sunday of the month. I'm a panel coordinator. I got to call my panel leaders. That's 5 minutes on the phone while I'm driving in my car to make sure that somebody's going to make their meeting. Once a month, I actually have to get off my butt, get a speaker, take them up to the facility, cover the meeting myself because I have a week as a panel leader. That's another 1 hour a month. So I'm like really into this thing for, 2 hours and 30 minutes a month for me to get all the benefits that Jody talked about from H&I. And I've been doing this since a long time. I don't know. I do the minutes for our meetings because I'm the secretary, and I go back. I have the minutes since like August of 94 or something on my computer. It's like ridiculous. And I've just been doing this because for me, like Jody, I heard the message of Narcotics Anonymous when I was in a treatment center. This guy came in and told his story, and his circumstances were so much like my circumstances that I actually like got his phone number, and I called him while I was in treatment, and you know that's my sponsor because he has his circumstances. I identified so much with him. The facility that I do is a difficult facility because it's for youth, people who are under the age of 21 and have not come to realization that they got a problem and their problem is the disease of addiction. they feel they can still use safely. They don't have a problem. They don't need to be in this place. They only have to come because they caught them smoking weed or whatever it was that they tested dirty or something. And it's a lot of resistance to the fact that maybe you have a problem and drugs is part of it. And what I always tell them is, I'm not here to try to convince you that you're an addict. My goal for H&I is to go to a facility and introduce the people in that facility to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. So if at some point in the future, you decide that drugs is a problem in your life, you might remember that guy that came when you were 19 or 20 to this place you were in that told you about Narcotics Anonymous and told you that you can look it up in the phone book and get some help. Maybe you remember that. And you know what? Maybe you won't. I had a guy that I took in as a panel member to a youth jail, and he told him, I hope I don't ever see you at meetings. I hope you don't have the problem I have. But if you do, we'll be here. And somehow we have got to get that message that there is another way into these facilities where these people are that can't get out and go to a meeting, even if they wanted to. And most of them don't want to. And I have had a lot of frustrations. I've had several facilities that I was doing over the years that I show up one week and they're closed. I used to do a youth jail for males. And our meeting was on Saturday night. I showed up Saturday with my speaker, and they said, they moved everybody on Wednesday. Don't come back. No notice, no nothing. I can't take that personally because it wasn't me. It was the decision of the judicial system to relocate those people. And then we had to figure out a way to get somebody in the area where they moved to take an H&I meeting into those kids, because they moved out of our area. So how many people here have been involved in H&I on a regular basis? Okay, so I'm kind of preaching to the choir. You know? Like Jody said, some areas don't use the panel system. So if you have any questions about the panel system and other systems that H&I might employ in order to get people into these different facilities to tell people about Narcotics Anonymous, you know, now's the time. If you can't ask the question right now, find out when your area's H&I monthly meeting is and go. You don't have to be a member to go. In fact, if you were to show up at your H&I meeting uninvited, they'd probably give you a service position whether you wanted one or not. I know if you show up at mine, I'm giving you a service position. In fact, if you come to my home group, I might be giving you a service position. And that's only because service has kept me involved in Narcotics Anonymous. It keeps me from having those wellness attacks where I don't need to be around you folks anymore. You know what I mean? And the real deal for me is that the guys in my network said, if you don't leave the basics, you don't ever have to go back. And I believe that. I believe that. My life has changed tremendously. And there are people who know me that have never known me when I was using. And if they found out, they'd probably be shocked to find out, you know, my background. You know, I'm a lot like Jody. I'm in service in my community. I'm in service in a lot of different areas outside of Narcotics Anonymous. And I only learned that by getting in service in Narcotics Anonymous. In addition to the H&I work I do, I'm involved in my area service committee. I got a position there. Sounds like I'm a service junkie, but I spend a little bit of time a month to get all of these benefits that are just unimaginable if you're not in service. When I'm not in service, I'm just hanging on. I'm going to a meeting here and there. I'm treading water in a drain that's sucking me down without being in service work. When I'm in service work, I got a whole bunch of people, and we're all kind of hanging on around the edge of the pool, so when the water starts draining, ain't nobody going anywhere. Because we're helping each other out, we're holding each other up, and service work is the key to that for me. So at this point, you know, Anthony's also been a longtime member of our H&I committee, and Jody's been a longtime member. So we've got some experience up here, and if you have any questions that you'd like to get addressed, now would be the time to raise your hand and ask the questions. Hey, Brad.
I'm new to this program, so how long would you need to have sober?
How much you got?
I have coming up in 4 months.
That's enough. That's enough. Because to be quite honest, you know, who was the literature chair? We had the literature chair. We got literature that needs to be stamped. Show up and stamp the literature. For 2 months. You need 6 months to take a meeting. In our panel system, you need 6 months to be a panel leader to take a meeting into a facility. You got 4 months? Come every month to our H&I meeting. You can stamp the literature. You can hear what's going on. You can find out the problems, the facilities that are low on people who are supporting them, and you can put your name on a list that in, you know, 52 days when I pass the six-month mark, I want one of those positions. If you're clean now, you got enough. We'll find something for you to do. Trust me.
Brother Lord, a great recovering addict.
Hey, Lord.
Tip my hat to you, because I've been in this H&I position for a long time, since 92, you know, going into facilities, you know, where I talk to 200 inmates, and also in hospitals and institutions also. But it's the hardest thing to try to get people to go. I don't have no transportation, but I'm willing to put the gas in the car to get to these facilities. And a lot of times, I wind up, no one shows up, so you have to shut the facility down. Mm. And this person continued to call me and said, bring a commitment up there. You're doing a wonderful job. But I said, there's nothing I can do. I'm powerless over that. Just like when they close the facility down, you know, you're powerless over that. We can't do nothing about that. And just pass it on to some other area or whatever, you know. But I just tip my hat to you, you understand, because that's quite a stand, you understand, and that's what I'm doing. I'm getting ready to relocate to Alabama, you know, from Boston to Alabama, you know, maybe June or July. So I'll be there. You know, that's where my operation will be, you know, but I'll still be involved with this H&I process. Great job. Thank you.
Thank you. We had a question over here.
Hi,
Irene.
I'm of my area, Appalachian Area Narcotics Anonymous in Virginia. I'm the H&I chairperson, newly in the position. And, you know, I got involved in H&I right around when I had the ear clean. And I really quickly, I was willing to take a service position, and I really quickly moved through, you know, because my first relapse. input on getting in a facility like that where it's where they're just not really willing to work with us, yet they're working with AA. You know, it kind of seems like a double standard to me. So that's all I have.
Okay, well, we've had a couple of issues like that in our area. One of the things that we've done is we've had our special events committee has an annual function, and it's like a crab feast. And at the crab feast, we have somebody from H&I go and speak to talk about H&I and to get people to, you know, try to show some interest and to show up. The worst thing that happens is when you have a facility that wants to have a meeting and people are not honoring their commitments and they want to fire us. You know, if this is the best you can do, if this is what Narcotics Anonymous is going to bring to the table, we don't want you. And if addicts start to understand that, most of the ones that I deal with that are like me, that love Narcotics Anonymous because of what it's done for me, would never want to have that, have our fellowship looked at in that light. And as a result, that's why I urge you to only take commitments that you can fulfill. It's better to not have a meeting at the facility than to do a bad job and forever have them looking at us like, you know, they used to look at us. And I understand it's hard to not take the meeting to some of these facilities, but in terms of the well-being of Narcotics Anonymous and getting the message out, that might be better to not have the meeting until you have enough people to support it properly. We've had a facility for young women ask us for several meetings a week, and we don't have the support. So what they get is a meeting on the first Wednesday of the month on one cell block, a meeting on the third Wednesday of the month in that cell block, and a meeting on the fourth Saturday of the month in another cell block, because that's all we can support. So we've learned how to not take on more than we can support. We've had another facility call us and say, we'd like you to bring a meeting here, and we've had to tell them, we can't right now because we don't have the support, but give us a little bit of time. We'll see if we can't drum up a panel to come and support your facility. And once we get a panel and we get three, four, five people, because you saw how many people it is to do a panel, we will start supporting that meeting. As opposed to saying, yeah, we can do it and do it badly and then have them kick us out. And then we can't get back in there. And we've had that in a couple of places. And it's very damaging.
My name is Fernando. I'm an addict.
Hello, hey, Fernando.
I'm a grateful addict and I'm angel. He wants me to translate for him because his English is not that good.
Okay.
I'm a translator. He's done H&I in Argentina for 3 years himself. He used to run for the H&I as a panel leaders and stuff like that himself. And the coordinator has invited him to the jail a couple of times in Argentina. He has done service. He has a lot of experience. That he moved over to another city in Argentina. That he opened up a committee up there for information and with public information also. And then after 4 years, they opened up. I'm just telling him he can keep talking because I can translate like that. After 4 years, they went into a facility with the H&I. So basically what he's saying is that they actually got in with public information also. They all got together, you know what I mean? Because he's sharing this with
John
because he needs some help also too. He wants to do service in Virginia, up in Arlington, Virginia.
Hay un grupo de español en Washington.
It's a Spanish group up in Washington, D.C. also.
Y yo creo que tenemos la experiencia.
En
yo y dos compañeros más.
Then between him and another committee also.
Para llevarlos a la gente.
To take them into the facilities.
Para que oigan el
so they can hear the message of narcotics and violence.
Si ustedes saben,
if y'all know,
que se necesitan compañeros de habla hispana,
people that speak Spanish,
acá estamos.
They're there for y'all.
Queremos hacer servicio.
They want to do service also for that area for the Spanish speaking people.
All right.
Right. Yep.
Thank you.
Hey, Robin. I had a hand over here.
My name is Tara.
Hi, Tara. Okay, well, we had a very similar situation at a facility for female juveniles, and we've got some people that are actually at the convention here that I can get you in touch with. You can find out what they did. I can't, you know, I wasn't involved in that, but essentially we did have a meeting with the facility to explain to them that having a staff member sitting in a meeting and when somebody shares what's going on with them telling them what to do or what not to do was inappropriate. And we did make some headway by explaining what we try to get out with Narcotics Anonymous and what we're trying to get the facility residents to do. And we did make some progress with that. And we've had some other instances, you know, where we've had to say to the facility, your staff can't do that because then it's not a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and we can't support that. And unfortunately, we'd have to discontinue bringing the meeting in here if your staff is going to insist on doing that. And if they still want us to have a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, then they would have to talk to the staff member or whatever they're going to do. But it's all about, for us, it was all about negotiating with the facility and getting some give and take from them. You know, we're there at their invitation. You know, we come there because they've asked us to come and bring a meeting. And in order for us to do that, there's some things that, as an independent organization, Narcotics Anonymous, we're going to request. You know, we try as best we can to follow the guidelines of the facility. Jody was talking about background checks that they require. This young lady was talking about, you know, the facility not being willing to work with them. Well, we work with them as best we can. And if they're unwilling to work with us, then maybe we can't support them. And in some cases, unfortunately, they don't want us there. As much as they need us there, or the residents need us there, we can't do everything and be everywhere all the time.
He went to a detention center in Alexandria, Virginia. Yeah, and they invited him over there. They asked him. He went twice. And then the third time he went, they said that he had to have a social security number for him to go in. He doesn't have one, so he had to run to him. He had to run.
Because
he didn't have some social. He said they still keep asking him, but what he didn't understand was they never asked him twice. Two times that he went, and the third time all of a sudden they asked him.
Well, some of that has to do with the differences on the staff members. Some people know the facility's policy, and some people don't. You first, and then.
I just wanted to address what you were saying about having staff at meetings with you, and you did have that. You had that issue when you were trying to get a meeting with your facility. But what we ended up doing is, as a suggestion, we did go and talk to the counselor.
Hey, Tavis.
From the province, Rhode Island area, and I've done H and I a lot of areas that I've been in. And my comment is that it may fringe upon an outside issue, but it is, as far as H and I goes, and carrying the message behind the walls and stuff like that. And it's building relationships. Once we get in there, you know, as a panel leader, a person who's committed to this life-saving message, that we build those relationships with the right people. Oftentimes the shifts are changing, guys are coming up through the ranks, and as his brother mentioned, the fact of the matter is there are a lot of facilities that will play as though they want us there, and the fact of the matter is, no, they don't. You can feel it in the air. But if you've been around here a while, you know how to play fast at. That's where we come from. But getting back to making those connections and building those relationships, I've had experiences where, you know, I simply had to do some name dropping and said, hey, the commander or the corporal said this, and problem last week and it got cleared up. I would hope that we could do that this week. And like all of a sudden, it's how you present it, things happen. And then it kind of sets the precedent for the next times that we go up there to carry the message. And it's like all the doors just open. But it requires a lot of tact and a lot of 12-12, you know, just to go in and carry the message and leave there, you know, yourself and go live your life and come back and hopefully touch one person.
Me, myself, I grew up in group homes and foster homes and detention centers. So when you guys are talking about, you know, staff members being in the room, sometimes it is conducive for your safety that they be in those rooms, because me, myself, when I was growing up, some of us have mental issues and they're liable to lash out at any moment. Yeah. The best thing is to have a staff member in those rooms sometimes.
Yeah, but some of us have mental issues too.
So sometimes it's better to have that staff member there with you for your safety and for their safety. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of the kids, I was at Boys Village. You know, some of you guys in Baltimore know what Boys Village is, and Hickey and Riker, and you know what I'm saying, Noyes. I've been through all those places. And I'm 24, so it wasn't that long ago. You know what I'm saying? So, ooh. I mean, I can tell you firsthand, it's for the best that those staff members are there. It is for the best, because you might get a reaction from a kid that's the same reaction you might get from a criminal in prison that wants to slice the throat or whatever. You know what I mean? So just take that into account. You know, some places do have protocols and stuff like that, and it's put there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Everything has its reason. And if a staff member is being a little overbearing and telling you what you can and can't say, ask him to remove himself and get another staff member up in there. You know what I'm saying? Or bring it to the attention of the leader of that foundation or whichever head staff is. Because there's always a head staff.
Yep.
There's always one that's in charge of the rest of them on call. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, there's ways around everything. I just wanted to share that.
Thank you.
My name's Anthony. I'm recovering at.
Hey, Anthony.
And this has been a good meeting to me. I've got some information. I listened to that lady share back there about her getting her home group being involved. And I remember a meeting in a facility I was in, Reality House, years ago. They had an AA come in, you know, and they had a home group was sponsored, that meeting coming in. And it just brought back some memory to me that sometimes if we can't get enough people involved in H&I, maybe we need to take it back to our home group, you know, and maybe try and get some home group members involved in doing the meeting in the facility. Maybe that can build it back up, because this meeting's going on for a long time, you know. And it was real, I'm really glad you shared that, because it reminded me when I first got clean how the meeting was always met. And I've been doing H&I since 1992. As soon as I had 6 months, I was in it. And I'm a firm believer in that commitment being met, even if it's just me. If my speaker can't show up, I got to get there to get the guys out of the cell. Because I know carrying the message of Narcotics Anonymous to the guys behind the walls is important for them to get out of their cell every week, if that's what they want to do. You know, because when they do get out of jail, they're going to feel that more confident that they're going to want to attend a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, because they're going to say, these guys are responsible.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are responsible for the commitments. They're responsible for their recovery. You know, I want to go there. And I went from Yale to jail and jail to Yale and all this other stuff, you know, taking meetings in the high schools, and also I do a meeting in Anne Arundel County Detention Center now. And I'm the panel coordinator in there. Luckily, I have a good panel that shows up every week to do their meeting. But it's real important, and I feel obligated that I will show up and have that meeting taken out, you know, having them taken out of their cell, you know. And that's what I've learned in Narcotics Anonymous is the importance of showing how we represent, you know, our fellowship. And I'm in the Bay Area, it's really, you know, it's a big, a lot of commitments going on in the Bay Area and a lot of panels there. And it's been a good experience for me of being involved in this area, you know, and H&I saved my life, you know, and I feel obligated. Like John said, it don't take much. It takes a week, an hour or 2 hours.
A month,
you know, to do these commitments, and that's it, you know? I mean, how long does it take to show up for a home group once a week, you know? I mean, this don't take very long at all to be involved in H&I, and thank that girl for sharing, too. I really appreciate you sharing that.
I got two questions, I'm Jody Nomadic. One is one of my service commitments. I'm on the phone line committee, right? And I get phone calls from a lot of different areas. And I have two calls from Baltimore. So my question is, if there's anybody here that can get me in touch with a person from Baltimore area, H&I or PI, so I can communicate with them when I get these calls in, because people call me to open meetings or start meetings in different facilities. And then my second question was, well, it's not a question. It was just elaboration on I think the gentleman was talking about staff members being, one of the facilities we go in is Southern Maryland Hospital, and it's a psych ward. But there's only certain people allowed in there. They're all crazy like us, right? But if you know, they know the nature of the people that they send to our meetings, and they're not going to send nobody in there that, you know, that's just going to go off, you know, and try to harm us. And we go behind a door, right? And I remember, because I have took a meeting in that facility, and I remember sharing with my sponsor that I didn't really want to go in there, right? He said, why not? He said, you just like them. So that, I said, yeah, you're right. You got a point there. So, you know, that's all I want to share. Any more questions?
I'm a mental addict named Angel.
Hey, Angel.
I've been doing H&I since I had 6 months clean. I'm originally from New York, up in the Bronx. That's where I got cleaned at. And to be honest with you, I'm still doing H&I. I'm the H&I chairperson right now for the Delmarva area, Delaware, you know, down lower Delaware, the way they call it. But, you know, my sponsor, every time I call him, he always tells me, man, if you're involved in the H&I, man, please do it, because you know what? H&I struggles, man. And I'm a firm, I mean, we struggle big time, man. And for those of y'all that are doing the H&I, please don't quit. Please don't quit, because you know what he always tells me? He says, H&I is the front line. Everybody else is behind us while we up in there fighting for it. You know what I mean? Carrying that message. So please remember that, man. We are the front line of Narcotics Anonymous carrying that message to that sick and suffering addict. So please don't give up hope, even though, you know, there are a lot of people that don't. Like, you know, somebody said, they struggle sometimes, like you were stating, that, you know, the ones with the less playing time, the newcomers are the ones that, like, they want to jump in. Mm-hmm. You know, listen, I bend the rules a little. You got 4 months of coming up on 5 or 6 months, let's go to an H&I meeting. You can sit down, you can learn. You know what I mean? Right. You want to say something, go ahead, why not? You might have a better message than me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because they're more equal. You know what I mean? So just because we have the guideline does not mean that we can't bend it a little.
Yeah.
For those of us that are chairpersons, because I'm a chairperson and I bend mine once in a blue moon. You know what I mean? I do, because they're so eager to get in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the eager they are that they get that little taste, that's it. You got a new one up in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So please, man, this is just for us that are really, because I love it. I love H&I. I've been doing this since 6 months, and I don't let it go. You know what I mean? We're getting ready to come up with our area service where they're going to start doing the commitments all over again. And I'm like eager to say, please, I hope nobody wants it.
Yeah.
Because I still want to do my H&I. And even if they don't, you know, if somebody else comes along, I'm going to train that person, but I still also have a commitment myself. I am a panel member at a facility myself, too. You know what I mean? So please, H&I, man, those of us that are battling, we're the front line. Remember that, man. Don't give up hope, man. Let's just keep having that message.
Good, Mr. Gentleman.
Brother Lord, a rich recovering addict.
Hey, Lord.
Hey, Lord. I just want to kind of piggyback on what you were speaking about our group and our region and all what we do. We go into groups in the fellowship and ask for groups to be a part of H&I. Go in, particularly to go and talk to them, group members and all, for them to come in and support H&I when we go in these facilities. And it's a good response because of that. Mm-hmm. We're doing that. Not only that, the problem about the jail, we go over to jail at a 90-minute session, then they cut it down to 30. Mm. We can't argue about that. All we have to do is make an adjustment and keep doing what we have to do. By doing that, what happened, they extended it another half hour, and we got the 90 minutes back. But in the meantime, they had to do it for an hour because they had the nurses coming in there doing medication and things like that, you know. And a lot of the guys, the addicts and all, they get upset. No, don't get upset. Mm-hmm. That's their facility. Mm-hmm. We're only here to carry a message of recovery. And we do that for an hour and a half, just cut the time down and get on out of there. Mm-hmm. And it's been working. Y'all just keep doing what you're doing, that's all. And I'm surprised that this room is not full. Every chair should be full.
Exactly.
H&I.
That's right.
Main ingredient.
That's right, the main ingredient.
I'm not walking around this guard out here. Mm-hmm. You understand?
That's right.
That's why I was all upset about myself when I come in there. Should have been full.
Full. That's right.
H&I. Mm-hmm.
Come on in the back. Can't hear you.
That's I'm glad. I'm just glad I'm here to listen when this is so because I don't feel like the anxious thing, you know, just being around positive attitude, around positive people, you know what I mean? You know, I had a good time yesterday, which I had a good something like that. Fashion show or whatever. I was at that fashion show. And it was beautiful. People just enjoying themselves and coming together. That's what's going on, you know what I mean? Like the dancing, I think it's about 7:10.
Thanks for sharing. This gentleman here. Hey, James. Yeah. They don't want to bend no rules or nothing. They don't have any, you know,
you know, but my sponsor.
The guidelines. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but the guidelines in the book is 6 months of budget time.
Okay.
That's guideline rules. They can't break that rule.
Well, our committee in our area, they're full of crap. Bullshit.
Speak your piece.
You like that.
Speak
they're your bullshit. Piece. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't in the click, then they don't want to accept you. And see, my sponsor goes to a facility with teens. And she took me there once. It was really nice. And, you know, just to observe. Because she wants me to take on that commitment. You know, as soon as I'm clear. And one of the ladies at area, for the simple fact, my sponsor shows her love and compassion. And girls always have a lot of questions after the meeting, you know. But and she did protocol. She asked the facility owners, "Do they mind?" They told her no. But the other girl is going to come to area, you know, and cause a lot of conflict, you know, because she felt her boundaries were overstepped. But so even though I have my little paperwork that I'm waiting for my clearance 6 months, all right.
That's guidelines, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the answer. I don't know. This is your meeting, but the guidelines and our H&I guidelines, H&I is 6 months clean time. So that's somebody lying.
But some facilities, such as jails, require a year.
Depending on the facility, depending on the facility, if the facility says they want a year or better, that's the facility. But the H&I guidelines, that's 6 months. That's 6 months automatically. To share.
You want to share?
I'm Lisa. I'm an addict.
Hey, Lisa.
I can relate to your eagerness, I guess. I'm working on my 10 months, and I just became a member of the H&I subcommittee after 20 days. It was I'm profoundly attached to H&I. And it's a little messed up why, but in my active addiction, I was with somebody who was a felon, and it didn't matter if that man was in jail for 1 day, 1 year, or 5 years, he was just released and kicked out the doors and go. And it used to piss me off that there was like no rehabilitation. Mind you, I'd used with him too, you know? So, and then for me, it was that's who reached out to me. I went to an institution, you know? I went to a rehab. I saw what H&I was there. Mm-hmm. And in my area, I'm in the Battlefield area, and it's almost non-existent. And when I came in, I was just so eager, and it suggested time to my understanding. And when I had 5 months clean, and I took over secretary the position because it was open. And in the last 4 months, the H&I chair has not shown up for area service, so I've been acting as H&I chair, and now I'm turning in the trusted servants reports, and I'm, you know, I just went to the jail, and I don't have a year, but it don't hurt to put my stuff in. That's suggested. The jail suggests you have a year. I'm suggesting I'm ready now. You know what I'm saying? I can suggest, too. So, I mean, I've got something positive to bring, you know? It's not just about carrying the message. You got to be the message. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I can say whatever I want to up in here, but when I walk out these doors, or when I go to work, or when I'm in the grocery store, if I'm not being the message, I'm full of shit. And that's this addict's concept of it. You know what I'm saying? Because I will have nothing to offer, and I feel I have something to offer. And I went through the orientation, and I was there for 4 hours. Girl, there were 42 people there that day, with churches and other, you know, whatever. And we had 5 people show up, and I thought I was going to fall on the floor because it's hard for me to get people in. And since I've been voted in as pro temp chair in next area, I'll find out if I take over the position. And I'm adamant about making that strong in this area. I've already got flyers printed out for people to come. I'm starting to just have information, you know, sessions that instead of a meeting, early before the meeting, come to the meeting place that I go to. Half an hour early, and I will tell you about it, show you what it's about, because it's important. And people, in my opinion, lack knowledge of what it is. Because when I walked into the room, and someone said, "Yeah, I'm with the H&I committee," well, what the hell is that? You know what I'm saying? We need help. Well, that's great. What are you? You know what I mean? It was just for me. It was lack of information. I sit there, and they're telling me to shut up. No, man, you shut up. I got something to say. You know what I mean? This is important. Like, and we are the front line. reaching out to people who don't know that they can have a hand to grab to. That's who I was, because I didn't think I was an addict for a long time, because I didn't use like you. You know what I mean? So our story's all different, but it's addiction that we're fighting. And that's the unity of this program and this fellowship, and H&I should be the front line. Because those people, I was one of the people who did not know what it was, did not know what it did not know what it represented, did not know how to become a part of, how to help. And now that I'm there, and I feel it suffering in that area, like any suggestions, I'm open to them, I'll give you my email, whatever, because we're starving and people are dying. Mm. You know, and we need help in that area, and I'm determined to turn it around. I don't care what. I'm working harder my H&I than I had to lose the urge to use. You know what I'm saying? I was blessed. I was taken away from me. I have no desire today, but I mean, I have decided to change that in our area. So, if anybody can give me suggestions or just whatever, just let me know. I will give my email, my number, whatever, because we need change in our area. And there was one man, Lee B, who was H&I chair there for years. And it's like he comes with me because I need his knowledge. I need his help. And I was like, well, what happened if this man wasn't with us no more? We'd all be holding our hands on our butts like, okay. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't know nothing. I'm like, you know, I was like, I need help to get there. We'll put in a budget request. Well, what's that, man? Like, teach me. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Where there's a will, there's a way, I believe in. And you know, just like in recovery, we had a will to get clean. We're clean today. You know what I mean? I have a will to teach people there's a better way. You know, so don't give up. And I don't care who's in the way. Whatever. It just don't work. Principles before personalities, my friend. So, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Any other questions? Any? Okay, well.
Oh.
Hey, Gary. Thanks for sharing.
Kenny, I'm an addict.
Hey, Kenny.
I've been on both ends with H&I, and just to say that how important it is, and this is something that saved my life and gave me a life back. When I was a 17-year-old kid, I was involved in a horrendous thing. I was sentenced to the duration of my natural life to Maryland Penitentiary. H&I subcommittees coming into the institutions as well as the other fellowship, not to mention the sheet cake with applesauce on it and coffee that we give you out of our cell to the meetings. But that was very important to where the seed, as you said, was planted. You know, and and that was in 1978 when I was sentenced to life. And in 2000, and I was well into the fellowship by then, because thanks to this convention that started my 90 and 90 in CPRC 7, I went back home and continued that 1990, and H&I just started in our area. I only had couple weeks clean. I didn't have enough to do anything, but they said we can be secretary.
That's right.
And they just started off and I took the minutes, and I still have on my old 3.5 floppy, the minutes from 93, 94, 95. I went on the H&I panel and I became vice chair, chair, and stuck with that commitment. I made those journeys. You know, I didn't take on anything more than I could handle. Hmm. But H&I has been a part of my journey through all of it. I just want to say, you know, it's been on both sides. You know what it's like. You know, I spent 12 years in one institution, you know, in jail. And I was on the installment plan. It was a day-for-day thing, you know, and to think that it's a personal life sentence can't help. Bullshit.
That's right.
You know, I mean, in 2000, I was able, through this fellowship, I know through H&I, my heart is out for this H&I. And yeah. I went back to that court, and my sentence was vacated through the institution I was in.
Mm.
And I'm no longer a lifer. You know, there's not many people in the state of Maryland, and I'm one of very few that was able to complete this program. But it was this fellowship, and I know my H&I commitment that kept me clean. You know, it's very important. You know, we are on the trenches. You know, we have very little support in our area. It doesn't matter how many times you mention at the meetings. I saw that someone with a 60-day key tag. I'm up there and say, hey, man, can I have your number? Would you like to share? You know, but I hadn't heard the person share. You know, and I don't want to take a bad message in either.
No.
You know,
that's
so.
Right.
It's tough, but you know, when someone usually when see me coming, I got my pad out and I'm trying to fill my commitment. They're heading out the door. You know what I mean? You know, so there he is. Watch out. They're running from me. You know, and I don't give them excuses. I say I got a car. I'll pick you up. I'll take you there where you live. You know, and I'll set things up. You know, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to get to the jail where we had. Even though I'm off paperwork since 2000, they still won't let me in the jail. But that's a simple. You know, but I got my name out to some other facilities where. Here, get it out. I mean, because I'm a state worker. You know, I just had to go through this hazmat thing and get a TWIC card so I can get on the security because they denied it. I had to go through an appeal process through Homeland Security so I could keep my job and get my hazmat. You know, and I had to get an attorney to do it, 178-page disposition, because all they know is state of Maryland, okay, but federal in 1978, you have a murder conviction. No, you're denied. That doesn't mean no. It means, well, you've got a chance to get away from it. You know, and I wouldn't have done these things. I would have given it so easy to give up, man. But
right.
H&I has given me hope. You know, I'm a